Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Comic-Con Stars. It's great to be back. We've got a live crew tonight. I'm going to tell you that. This is Dr. John, and we've got our host. Two live crew. You got it. That's Papa Strohmeister, the maestro of wrestling. We've got Dave Atwell, the author. We've got Teresa Jane of A-List Casting, and Mark Cares, who is our resident expert brewmaster. Before we get to the interviews and get to talk and have a great time like we normally do, I want to remind everybody, this coming weekend, Papa Stroh, where will you be this weekend?
Da-da-da-da, Heroes Con, Charlotte, North Carolina, Charlotte Convention Center. With a cape and all, it's going to be great.
Oh, goodness, that's going to be amazing. And then next week, we will all be, until I hear differently, we will all be at Steampunk Mid-Atlantic, Raleigh, North Carolina, the Raleigh Ramada Inn at 1520 Blue Ridge Road. It's going to be a blast. It's going to be a lot of fun. So much going on. Want to thank Eno River Media for their help in helping us get a lot of our guests. We're going to have a film festival, the Up All Night Film Festival on Saturday night. And Papa Stroh,
still the host of All Night, right? Well, I'm sorry, what's that again?
You're still the host of Up All Night Film Festival, right?
Yep, not Ron DeShear, but me, absolutely.
Okay, great. So we're going to have a blast, okay? And we got Mark Cares, but first of all, it is ladies first, because we got a wonderful lady, Teresa, with A-List Casting. Hey, Teresa, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing fantastic. I am crafting.
How you doing?
I'm excited. This is awesome.
We are too.
We're ecstatic.
That's it.
Yes,
wheels haven't come off the wagon yet.
Okay.
Whole silver.
Dave, be nice. That's right. Now, Teresa, I was introduced to you because you're a casting agent, you have a talent agency, and you do great things in Raleigh. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions, and then I'm going to let the panel go after you for all the great things that you do. First of all, tell us about A-List. What do you do there in Raleigh? What do you do for the very talented and maybe not so talented in Raleigh? Tell us.
Oh, come on. They're all talented. If they're with me, they're talented.
That's right.
Good.
But what we do, A-List Models and Talent, we do local bookings. We've done national and international bookings, and we also do placement into larger markets like New York, L.A., Paris, Milan, Finland, Brazil, Tokyo, just to name a few. We've had them all over the world.
How about Antarctica?
I'm sorry?
How about Antarctica? Have you ever placed anyone down there?
No, that's not one place that I think my kids would really like to go.
That's where Orca hangs out, John. That's where Orca hangs out.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. As long as you're not in Antarctica, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's right. Now, Teresa, you told me the most inspirational story. You have some sort of a show up there where you focus on people for what they can be. Tell us a little bit about that. I want everyone to know about what you do. That's great.
You must be talking about POP, Power of the Possible.
Exactly.
That is a program that we have for kids, teens, and adults with medical conditions that don't want to identify as their condition or disease or circumstances, but they want to be looked at as them, as a person. And we have figured out a way to do that. And, you know, these kids and adults, they come in and we work with them and we help them get bookings. But the main thing is that it gives these talents a reason to live. I have one girl. Her name is Nellie White. Very special girl. And basically, she's got gastroparesis. She's got a paralyzed stomach. She'll never eat or drink again for the rest of her life.
Oh, that's hard.
She's tube fed. And she came to us, and she said, "Will you please give me a chance?" And we did. She is now signed in New York, Florida, and with us. She has done shows in New York and, good gracious, all over the United States. She's one of our pop ambassadors now. And the thing of it is she will tell you that she has a reason to live.
That's beautiful.
Outstanding.
And that's what we're doing for pop. You know, we've got kids with liver transplant, heart conditions, kids that have had heart surgery as a child, as a little kid. We've got two gastroparesis boys as well as Melly. We've got Pompe disease. We have a blind girl. We have a lady who's 63 years old who has only one leg.
Oh, wow.
But these kids are working, and they're booking jobs, and that is what Power of the Possible is all about. It is about giving people a chance that others just probably wouldn't do.
That's just amazing. That's really amazing.
That really is. And I'll tell you what, Teresa, I want to go ahead and ask you now, do you think sometime soon and in the future we could get some of those wonderful people on our show?
Oh, they would be thrilled.
Oh, that'd be
they've
awesome.
They've done Good Morning America. I don't know if I was allowed to say that or not.
Sure you can. Say whatever you want. We're all
right ahead.
they've done TV shows, fashion shows. Some of them are going to New York Fashion Week.
Oh, wow.
And one of our girls did Florence Fashion Week. I mean, the list just goes on and on. And these kids do everything they can to stay connected and to give it everything they have. Melly has actually been in the hospital and has told her doctors, "I have to get well because I have an event in 3 days, so fix it." And it's just amazing.
You know, yeah.
All right.
Outstanding.
And you
yeah,
know that does
like
more
that.
To get somebody well than people would understand. If they have something they want to go do, they're passionate about it, and if they want to do it, it'll help them get well.
You're
really
right,
will.
And that is what we do. And, you know, the one thing that I'll say is that we truly, truly love each and every one of our kids. Those with POP and those without, we're like a family. You know, they come to me with everything. Our parents pull together. They help each other. You know, I have kids in Indiana, let's see, New Orleans, West Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina.
Wow.
I've just been approached by Florida, you know, and Texas with people and these kids wanting to come be with our agency because we are like a family.
Right.
And, you know, they do things like if one of our kids don't have a lot of clothes, because some of these kids, they don't have a lot of money. And if they don't have the clothes that are needed, our other parents will actually pull together and donate clothes to this kid.
That's cool. Oh, that's
great.
Fine.
It really
that,
is.
That, you know, that's what it's all about. Now, you know, Teresa, it's great to hear about this. And again, I want to get some of these great kids on here fairly soon, you know, after Steampunk Mid-Atlantic, and we'll talk to them. And I think their stories are going to be just amazing. Now, I want to give Papa Stroke, Maestro, credit for something. He is involved in something called Fishing with Special Friends, and he spends a ton of time working with great kids that, again, people might not want to give a chance to. Papa Stroke, I know you've told us about it, but just remind us what Fishing with Special Friends, and it's Bambi Weevil and her father, correct?
Yes, sir. Bambi and her father, Max Weevil, Mr. Max Weevil, they every year they put on a fishing tournament for disabled children. And what we do is, like, we volunteers, we come together and we help them bait their hooks and help them do the fishing thing during the morning. Then that afternoon, we give prizes to the winners, and pretty much everybody gets a prize. And it's different sponsors and different people that donate their time and prizes and gifts. They give, as part of their the prizes at the end, you know, like some of the hotels and restaurants provide coupons and different things. And I know I provide some of my merchandise on my end for the kids as well. So it's all about putting smiles on people's faces and giving back. And the looks on those kids' faces when they're fishing and when you're helping them out, and the smiles they give you. I mean, all the money in the world can't buy that. I mean, nothing can buy something like that. It just warms the heart. So it's such an honor to do that for them each and every year. And I'm all about doing stuff like that. You know, the sick children, going to hospitals and help out with the kids and different things. Because it's just, there's certain things in life that are so rewarding. And to see them smile and to make their day, it means everything. It really does.
Well, you know,
you're right.
We're really
– and.
Go ahead, Teresa. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say thank you for doing that. I mean, and you're right, to see these kids' faces light up because they're doing something, you know. And
thank you for everything you do. Oh, my goodness. It's amazing.
Okay, we should get together and talk.
Absolutely. Whenever you're ready, I'd be honored.
I am
really
all for it.
I'll propose that we have a meeting at Steampunk Mid-Atlantic before the first session, and we will have a planning meeting and see what we can all do to help further what the two of you are doing, and I just think that'd be a great thing. Is that a deal? Is that a deal, Teresa?
You got a deal on my end.
Papa Stroh? Same here. Done. Awesome.
All right. Good. Well, we will look forward to. Not this weekend, but next weekend when we get together, and we'll plot and plan more good things for good people, because that's what makes the world go around. And now, speaking of making the world go around, we have expert brewmaster who was introduced to us by Anthony Dowling of Eno River Media, Mark Cares. Mark, how are you doing tonight?
I'm good and thirsty, sir.
All right.
Good and thirsty. That's what a brewmaster is supposed to say, right?
Yep.
Good, good. So tell us, you're going to be there. You're going to have, be doing some classes to show us how to brew our own beer. And you're also going to be tailoring some of your brew to some steampunk era, again, mid-1850s, perhaps before, maybe a little beyond. But catering what you do to that flavor. Tell us a little bit about some of the concoctions and potions you're going to be making to make our afternoon enjoyable on Saturday.
I'll be talking how to make them so people can make them at home. If I was to make it there, the process is a little too long. But steampunk era beer is basically what we drink today was just really being invented at that time or discovered at that time. They didn't have clear glasses. It was, so they really didn't appreciate the color of beer. They really didn't look at it. They really didn't understand yeast. So a lot of your alcohol content was much less. And because they really didn't understand yeast, and how it works, that's really like lager. You know, that was a German term. Lager means storeroom or store. And they were having, during the summertime, they'd have these kind of crazy beers. So they'd make the beer in the spring and store it in ice caves. And then come fall, Oktoberfest is when they tap them. And so that was really discovered in the 1820s, 1830s. So basically, I'm going to really be talking about that era when the modern methods of brewing occurred, that what we understand to be it now and what we enjoy at our local pubs, bars, and in our living rooms.
Oh, that's so cool.
Great. And now you said that you were going to be adding certain flavors to your brew that would be consistent with steampunk and just that mid-1850s. Tell us a little bit about it, because I know you sent me a picture one time on Facebook about like one of the herbs or spices you were going to put in there.
Yeah, in England and most of Europe in medieval times, they didn't use hops. They used whatever herbs were kind of lying around. But over time, hops kind of took really control of brewing throughout Europe and England. But in rural areas, mugwort and heather were still being used in parts of England and Scotland and some other outlying rural areas of Europe. And so that's what I'll be talking about is what they were used for and the flavors that they kind of that they are. And they've fallen out of favor for the most part with World War I and World War II and industrialization. So.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now can you buy mugwort and what was that other one? Can you buy those here in America to use them to flavor your brew?
Yeah, there's a lot of mugwort, heather, clary sage is another one, and you can buy them in medicinal herb shops online. You know, not every state has them, but you can buy them dried or fresh. And then if you go down to kind of your local nursery, you can buy the plants themselves. And mugwort is something that really takes over. If you pull it out, it's not like mint. It's not invasive to where you can never get rid of it. But it'll kind of crowd out weeds. Heather is really doesn't grow in this area. Sage is actually clary sage, in the eastern part of the Carolinas, in old tobacco country. There's about 4,000 or 5,000 acres that are growing it for commercial purposes.
Wow, really? That's interesting.
Yeah, and then of course you have, yes.
No. Please go ahead. Yeah, this is interesting.
Yeah, and right now you're with this. There's America's really kind of pushing the frontier for variety with the local micro brewery explosion. People are always searching for more. And so, you know, there's been experimentation with basil beers, sweet potato beers. The big thing now is sours. That's an infection in your beer, which your beer tastes sour, has a pucker to it. And that's finding a resurgence. So, you know, we're America is really kind of looking backward or, you know, to go forward, they're looking at their past prior to the late 1800s when everything was
what old is new again, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Old is new again.
And so they're looking, you know, to that World War, you know, the late 1800s, early 1900s with the industrialization and just the, I mean, in 1873, 1880s, this country had 2,100 breweries. By the late 1970s, we were down to less than 100. And now we're over 2,400. So, so it's quite a time for the home brewer or the enjoyer of micro or crafted beer, as they said. So,
That's really cool.
Wow, that's It is. Now, you were talking about sour beer. Is that any, and I don't know if you know the answer to this or not, but is that any relation to the process they do to create sourdough bread?
Well, sourdough bread, that process itself is basically yeast that is constantly fed, and so much what you get in wine that's turned to vinegar, that's what sourdough bread is, just vinegared bread, where yeast,
okay,
for dozens and dozens of years, there's that ball of yeast in a container, and every day it's fed more water and flour, and over time, that yeast, just be like it would in wine, starts excreting vinegar. And that's how that sourdough comes about. Sour beer is they're wild strains of bacteria that have been cultivated, so you get a consistency. And sometimes, and that's like lactobacillus or other kind of bacteria or wild yeast that produce that variety. And really, the only in Europe you have your framboise or your lambics, which they're one of the few breweries in the world that never gave up producing sour beers, and they basically have no cleanliness. You know, the roof opens up, they don't dust the cobwebs, they don't clean up, they just, you know, brew as they have for hundreds of years.
So it's kind of a way, and kind of like almost a way like a pasteurization, right? In a way.
Well, no, pasteurization is,
you know,
is
what, you know, I know that was involved with, you know, the milk and everything because the bacteria and everything. But I mean, in a way, it almost sounds similar to the way they worked out with the pasteurization at the time when it came out.
Well, I don't know, because pasteurization, when you heat the liquid up to 165,
right, okay,
170 degrees, and so there that and most commercial beers are pasteurized because yeast live,
right,
and they want to get rid of the yeast, and that's part of the clarification process.
Right.
But
you know, and I had a related question. I have always heard that one reason for the prevalence of beer is that because the water was raised to a high enough temperature, that made it clean. And like in London, water from the Thames River was not very clean, and so they would use that water. They would boil it to make beer, and that at least gave people something they could drink that wouldn't kill them. Now, is that like an old wives' tale, or is there some truth into that?
Well, it's like, what came first, the chicken or the egg? You know, the
right,
whole reason, the whole reason that they were making beer in the first place is that because one, you know, you keep people happy, you give them, you know, something, you know, a little narcotic, a little drug.
Right.
And then two is you have an excess of grain, you know, that's going to be eaten by rodents or go moldy. And you know, or you used old bread. The ancient Egyptians basically used old bread that, you know, they would soak it in water and to eat it. And sometimes they forget about it and they got this beverage that had a little bit of fun to it. And it really wasn't till the steampunk era that they understood yeast, they understood the chemical and organic processes, and all of a sudden you went from 2 or 3% alcohol up to 5 or 6 or 7% alcohol. And, you know, then you could add sugars and molasses and get even higher. And that's, you know, George Washington,
right.
He was adding molasses to his beer to get it a little bit, to get it up to that 5 or 6%. And then you have your barley wines, which are 12 or 14%. And, you know, that's a lot of adjuncts, and that's, you know, that's the akin to wine, the alcohol level. That's why they call it barley wine.
Right.
That's wow.
Because making homemade beer at the house is very, very tedious because you got to control the bacterial level and all that. Now, when it comes down to making the homemade wine, I used to make what we used to call closet wine. When you get the old grape juice, throw the yeast in it, put the cap on there about a quarter turn loose, and put it in the closet for about 2 months. Pull it out, strain it through, strain it three times through a fistful of coffee filters. And then if you want it sweeter, you throw the Camden tablets in there to kill the yeast, because if you throw sugar in there, the yeast will remain active and keep eating the sugar. So you put the Camden tablets in there to kill off the yeast, and you can throw as much sugar in there as you want. And, you know, I'm not the biggest wine drinker in the world, but that's pretty decent stuff for us. You know, it's the same thing to do in prisons and everything. Not that I picked it up from there at all, but when you're doing beer, it takes so much more control because of the bacteria levels and everything. So
not really. No, that's not true at all. That's really not true at all. No. In fact, it's much easier and a quicker process.
Really?
It's fairly easy. Now, you know, I mean,
I can see a science project coming on. At 10:10 tonight, Mrs. Atwell will be going, "What are you doing?" "Nothing. Go to bed." "I got this."
Dave, all I've got to say is you sound
that's really fascinating. It really is.
That last question, Dave, you sound like you're the world expert on making wine at the house.
No, not me. I would never partake in such activities.
Okay.
Trust me.
Oh gosh. You guys are more astute about it than I am. I mean, if I tried anything like that, it'd be like a scene out of Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas. So
you'd make something to make extra arms grow out or something, Chernobyl.
Yeah, I remember I bought one of these kits, and it said to boil water, and it said put the water in the tub, put this stuff in it, and about 3 days later, all I had was something that smelled up the house. Mark, I'm going to have to take some lessons from you. I don't think I quite got it right. And that was great. But Mark, we're really looking forward to having you there, and I think you're going to have a lot of people coming in and watching you. And Teresa, we'll make – now, I want to get back to Teresa a minute, because she's going to be doing something fun at Steampunk Mid-Atlantic. Now, Teresa, you remember, we're going to have an open casting call, aren't we?
Yes, we are. I am looking for some new talent. Well, what we're going to be doing is I have a couple of scouts out there, and of course I'll be there. I wouldn't miss this for the world. I'm in love with steampunk. I'll just say that right off the bat.
That's all
right.
I love it. I'm like, I hope they have purses for sale. That's all I'm going to say.
There you go.
But one of the things that we're doing is that we're going to be doing an open casting call. We're looking for new talent for the agency. We've got fashion shows, movies, commercials, TV shows that we work with directors and producers on. And so we're just looking for the next big thing, you know, and I really feel like this is like such a wonderful opportunity, because one thing that I'll say about people who go to, like, Comic-Con and the steampunk is that they're, you know, they love the industry. They absolutely love it. And they're not afraid to step outside of their box a little bit.
Right.
So that's what we're doing. We're going to be there for 2 days. We're going to, you know, have them. We'll be offering contracts on the spot if we feel like somebody's got a lot of good talent.
That's great. Now I'm going to ask you, yes, Dave?
No, I was just curious about voiceover work. Do you guys do anything with that?
Sometimes. I don't get as much calls for that. But if someone is interested in doing voiceover work, then I will contact people in the other markets that I know. Because I've been doing this now, gosh, I don't even want to say how long, but let's just say I've been in the industry a long time. And I know, you know, I can contact somebody and say, hey, you do voiceover work. You know, I've got some people I'd like to send.
Oh, okay. That's the reason why they have us on radio, because we look better on radio and web shows than we do on television.
Now, 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 speak
oh,
for
yeah,
yourself,
I
David.
Oh, yeah, I can sit here in my pajamas.
The best-looking guy on a webcast, right?
Yeah, Dave's one sexiest man alive for the past couple of years, yeah. So don't let him fool you.
America's least one.
Oh, really?
Were you getting ready to say you were America's least wanted man?
That's it, man. I'm unwanted in 16 states. I'm very dangerous.
All right, Teresa, do you have anyone who needs a bad joke writer? Because we got you one right there.
I'm one of those ones that you hear on radio. And you're going, wow, he's got a nice voice. And then you meet me in person, you're like, yeah, well, shucks. Gosh, where's the mask salesman at? Do they have any masks here? That's when you go up and buy something just so you can get the bag and give it to me.
Now, kind of like Sweet Emotion with Aerosmith, where that boy's talking on the phone. He's thinking he's talking with a model, and at the end of the video, you see this hefty lady with a child. Hangs up the phone and gets
yeah.
them out of the fridge.
And she's talking on the phone, yeah.
My goodness.
Well, well, well.
Teresa, you and Mark see that the Steampunk Mid-Atlantic is going to be unusual, different, and interesting. I hope you do. But
Yeah, thank you.
We're going to have a lot of fun. So I guess right now, here's what I'd like to do. All of us are going to be at the con, and we're going to be having a great time. And I'd like for everyone to say, what is the thing, what do they hope to get from going to Steampunk Mid-Atlantic in a fun and interesting way? And you've been quiet for too long, so Mark, what are you looking to do that will be a lot of fun at Steampunk Mid-Atlantic? And what kind of people do you want to meet and whatever? That's a terrible question to ask, isn't it?
Well, I just look to meet people and have a good day of it. Kind of find out what's out there and just have fun with people, I guess. That would be about it. Low expectations.
Well, that's great. Now, Teresa, may I guess that you're looking for some interesting people to cast, right?
Yes, I am. I definitely am, and I'm actually also looking forward to the film part of it and, you know, meeting more of them and networking and just really finding some awesome people, and not just for our agency, but to network with as well. So I'm very excited, and I'm actually honored and grateful that you're having our agency out there.
Well, we're glad to have you there, and then I will go ahead and spread the news that we're looking forward to having you at the Cape Fear Comic Con in Wilmington on August the 12th. That'll be a lot of fun.
Cool, awesome.
And that'll
be good. Yep.
And along with Dave and Papa Stro and Mark, I haven't mentioned this to you, but if you can make it, we'd love to have you show everyone how to make beer. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Okay.
Okay, cool.
All right. Well, that sounds good. Now, Dave, what do you want to do at Steampunk Mid-Atlantic?
Well, mine's kind of like a little two-sided thing. Number one, of course, you know, being a sucker for Westerns and everything, I've often wondered how my books would, well, at least ways the first two, ease into the steampunk culture and everything, with those being a Western horror genre right off the top. So it'll be real interesting to see what kind of ideas I can get brewing in my head just by hanging out with that crowd. And secondly, and probably most important, when we was in Myrtle Beach, and my wife and I, we've been together for 21 years, and there was a gentleman across from my table that was selling steampunk jewelry. Remember, John? You guys
yes,
remember the guy that was right across the way?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Well, my wife's over there fawning over this stuff. And I says, well, I didn't know you liked this. She goes, oh, God, I love this stuff. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. Okay, so I've got a potential steampunk hottie on my hands, and I don't even know it. So, yeah, looking forward to getting her out there, getting her in the groove, and going out there and having a good time, because you know how Dale is. She'll go out there and whoop it up with the best of them. So, looking forward to doing that and seeing everybody. That's usually my best thing about doing the shows, though, is just getting to see everybody, because, you know, we have our normal lives where we do our ham and egging and try to keep the lights bills on with our regular jobs and everything. So, when we do the cons, it's kind of that weekend where we could just cut loose and, you know, shoot the breeze, shake some hands, have a couple beers, and really enjoy ourselves. And that's the part I always look forward to the most.
That's right. And if you want to have a couple of beers, you know the man to talk to about that. He's on the show with us tonight. And Pop,
yeah,
you
remember what happened in the Mellow Mushroom? I got to tell Mark this. So, Mark, the three of us and my wife are sitting in Mellow Mushroom in Myrtle Beach, and he's asking everybody what they want to drink. So I just look at him and say, I'll take a Pabst. And he goes, Blue Ribbon? I was like, yeah, like, are there different colors? You know, it's something I'm not aware of. So now I'm suddenly on the search for the lost colored ribbons of Pabst becoming my life.
There you go.
Have you seen the look on my face?
We had to see the look on your face, and it was funny.
It was great.
Yeah. we had a good time there.
That was a good time.
All right, that's right. Now, Papa Stroh, what are you looking forward to at Steampunk Mid-Atlantic?
Well, other than myself and my little girl Dorothy getting ready to wear some really cool steampunk hats, we're really psyched about that.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to meeting the agency, Teresa. Looking forward
yes.
to it. I'm really, really honored to looking forward to meeting you and everything. Really excited and really stoked about meeting you, Mark, for sure. Thank you for the education on the beard. That was very, very fascinating. I'm looking forward to learning more at the Steampunk Mid-Atlantic, man. You got your stuff down, man. It's really cool. I'm really impressed. And
cool. Thank you.
Looking forward to always seeing my brother Dave Atwell.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Much love.
Much love. Absolutely. And of course,
much
you,
love.
Dr. John,
you
thank
it.
You for putting this grand event all together. And I'm just blessed to be there with you guys and be involved with the film festival. Matter of fact, one of the films that are playing is one of the films I'm in, Son of Clowns, which is a very well directed film by director Evan Kidd, who's got a lot of promise in the film industry. If you guys don't know Evan Kidd already, a really great guy. Him and Bradley Bethel, the producer, they really did a great job of that film. And that's just one of the many films that's playing at Steampunk Mid-Atlantic. So, I mean, I'm just blessed to be there for you guys, and I'm really honored, and thank you for having me, really.
Well, you're welcome. And you did the perfect segue into next week's show, because next week, I don't know if you heard about this, but we've got Evan Kidd, Bradley Bethel, and Pop Stroh will be, the three of them will be talking about Son of Clowns. So Dave and I will be the panel, and we'll have the three of you talking about Son of Clowns. And then we will have Neil Griffin and his wife, who have a band called Antler Hill. They will be at Steampunk Mid-Atlantic. We're going to have samples of their music next week. So we're going to have a wild and crazy time. We're going to have like a little bit of that. We're probably going to have a 90-minute show, play some of their music. We're going to talk to Evan and Brad, and I'm going to see what kind of interesting things that they can bring to the table for our show next week. So we're going to have a great show. Then we have Steampunk Mid-Atlantic, and now I want to announce to everybody, we are very pleased to have one of the top heavyweight boxers in the United States coming on Comic-Con Stars the Thursday night after Steampunk Mid-Atlantic. I was introduced to this gentleman by Alan Braswell, who's been on our show before. His son Teddy's a fine cosplayer, and the guy's name is Darnell Brooks. And Darnell is a fine boxer. He's got a huge record. He's getting into a lot of championship fights now. We're pleased to have him coming on the show, Papa Stroh. He's also a mixed martial artist, so you'll have some things to talk with him about.
Oh, that's really cool, man. Much respect.
Yeah, he'll be there. And I guess what I wanted to say, I wanted to thank all of our guests tonight. It's been great talking to you, talking a little bit about Steampunk Mid-Atlantic. We'll be there in about 9 days, a week from tomorrow. And looking forward to it. That will be at the Ramada Inn on Blue Ridge Road, 1520 Blue Ridge Road. And the dealer room is 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. We're having the North Carolina Filmmakers Reception from 6:30 to 8 p.m. And then the Up All Night Film Festival, hosted by none other than Papa Stroh Maestro. And I hope everybody on here can join us for that. Then on Sunday morning, we have the dealer room is reopening at 10 a.m. And we will have Splendid Teapot Racing starting at 1 p.m. on Sunday afternoon, hosted by Brett King, one of the leading steampunk makers in the Raleigh-Durham-Chapel Hill area. Brett will also be hosting the Makers Fair, which there's a large sunken lounge in the lobby area of the Ramada Inn, and he's going to have a lot of great things that he's made, steampunk things, and people will enjoy it. So I want to say I think we're going to have a great time not this coming weekend, but the next weekend, June 24th and 25th at the Ramada Inn in Raleigh, Steampunk Mid-Atlantic. So this is Dr. John. I want to say thanks to our guests tonight. Mark Cares, the brewmaster. Mark, thanks for being here.
You're welcome. Thank you, Dr. John.
All right, and Teresa with A-List Casting, thank you for being here, and we look forward to seeing both of you next week. Teresa, thanks for being here. We look forward to our meeting with Papa Stroh Maestro about some good things we can all be doing to help great people in our community. Does that sound good?
That sounds fantastic. Thank you for
awesome
having me tonight. I'm thrilled.
Well, good.
Such a pleasure. Such a pleasure.
All righty. Dave Atwell, you keep on keeping on, keep working on the Hunger series, okay?
Will do.
All righty. And Papa Stroh, we will you will be seen this coming weekend at Heroes Con in Charlotte. Keep the home fires burning for Comic-Con stars and Papa Stroh Maestro, okay?
Absolutely.
All right, well, I want to thank everybody. We'll see you next week with our guests from Son of Clowns. We'll have Evan Kidd, Bradley Bethel, and Papa Stroh will be a guest next week. And then we will have Neil Griffin and his wife from Antler Hill and samples of their music as we lead up into Steampunk Mid-Atlantic. Thanks. Have a great week. We'll see you. I'll see everybody next week, Wednesday night. Papa Stroh, what do you have next Wednesday night at 9 p.m.?
WCW Retro on VOCNation.com.
You got it. We'll see everybody then. Thanks, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Dad's day, everybody.
Yeah.
Night, everyone.